Hey, good morning everybody, great to see you, great to have you, and it's nice to be back, because I wasn't here last week, just a big shout out, thanks Andrew for all that, but welcome, and if you're joining us for the first time, a very special welcome to you, and also our friends, if you're on the telephone as well, that would be really good. It's good to have you here, so brilliant. Okay, let's commit our time to God, shall we? So let's pray. So Father, we thank you for the wonders of technology, but we thank you now that you're going to be with us as we give this whole time to you. We ask, O God, that you would lead us into your presence. We'd enjoy as we worship and as we see a few people, as we sing, Lord God, in every aspect, as we read your word and consider it, may you be in every part. So come, Holy God, and meet with us as we join you and meet with each other now, even if it be virtually. So come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You have to be louder, I can't hear you.
Sorry. Amen.
Thank you, that's better. Okay. So, a few announcements, a few notices. Obviously, it's all still locked down, and so there's not a great deal of stuff going on. Just to say that we are in a real period of prayer at the moment, which I think is very timely. It's also a regular time for prayer, but there are some specials as well. We have a regular day of prayer, which we're joining with others, particularly across Swanage, through the 24/7 day of prayer. That's each Wednesday. So if you're able to join us, that would be really good. You can sign up for an hour or just grab an hour and put yourself into that sort of time with God. That would be really good. We're also realizing that we're in this 10 days of prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. If you're a member of the EBC family, then you would have had an email from me with all sorts of bits and bobs and information on that. And if you do want any more, you can go via the Thy Kingdom Come website and you'll get all sorts of bits of information there. But this is between Ascension Day and Pentecost, so it might be worthwhile you joining in with that. Continue to say a big thank you to Adam and the team for Worship on Wednesdays, and we've got another one coming up this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and there may well be other things online as well. Just look at the Facebook page, this page, and hopefully that will keep you up to speed. Next Sunday we have another sort of visitor on video, that is. And that is Dave Brock. He's going to be coming and bringing God's word, but we're also going to interview him as well. And lastly, just to stay in touch, a regular watching us, but have not yet, don't get through information and these emails I keep talking about and connecting with information and resources, then you can contact us via the website or directly through that email there, contact@emmanuelbc.org.uk, and we'll get in touch. We'll put you on our mailing so you'll get information. And there are a couple of new things, new ideas, which we're hoping to put into place over the next couple of weeks. So if you would like to connect with us on that, then that would be really good. Okay, thanks Rich. Good. So I think that's it on the notices. I hope you've got your singing voice on. It's not very natural, is it, sometimes to sing in your slippers? If you're able to, Adam's going to lead us in our first block of worship. So Adam, thank you, mate.
Good morning, church. We're going to begin our sung worship by singing together. Come, now is the time to worship. is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. Come. Now is the time to worship. Come.
Now is the time to give.
To worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before you.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun. worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name. There's a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. There's a way we can go there. We have lived there beyond all time. Because of Him. Because of
we can live forever. Now we have this world because of
Well, thanks so much, Adam. Richard and I were just talking. Well, we were singing, of course, as well. But we were so grateful for you. So bless you. I've been noticing some of the comments going down. And Joy, I'm so sorry. We'd forgotten that it was your birthday. So happy birthday to you, Joy. But it's been being part of family for us at Emmanuel is really, really important. And, you know, let's stay connected in this time of separation. But one of the ways which we're trying to catch up with people is through a little video sequence of pictures and a little bit of narration from some church members. So this week we have Alison and Ian Snell. Thank you.
Hello everyone. We hope you're all well. It's a shame that we can't be together yet, but hopefully that won't be too long now.
We were asked to share in what we've been doing with ourselves during lockdown, so here we go.
Every morning we walk to Dulston Country Park and never get tired or bored with the scenery. It has to be the most beautiful place on earth. We're so thankful to be living here.
It's been good to spot the changes as the weeks have gone by. Cowslips have given way to buttercups and daisies, orchids have crowned the slopes, and now wild gladioli and thrift are out. The birds seem to be singing louder than ever.
We take different routes around. Ian is determined to get me fitter and has extended the walk each week.
Hasn't the weather been wonderful? In all these weeks, there's just been one day where we got drenched.
It's a good thing we've walked so much. Ian has become a fantastic baker and actually seems to enjoy cooking. When he's not in the kitchen, he can often be found in the garden. We're thankful that Ian retired at the beginning of this year.
Although not retired yet, Ali hasn't been asked to go into school. Instead, she's had online training to do. She's also used the time to get stuck into some other studying, which she's really enjoyed.
It is hard not being able to see friends and family, but thank goodness for technology. We've lost count of the number of times we've sung Wind the Bobbin Up down the phone to our granddaughter.
The cats don't care. Life goes on as normal for them, but we've learnt to value things more, things which we might have taken for granted. Bye for now. May God bless you. And may you know his love and protection.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. We're just moving a few things around on the desk. It's really good to see you. I'm just trying to find places because I've got two cameras. Because today I'm very pleased to introduce you to probably the first and most likely the last episode of Cooking with Rich. So I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of time doing exercise and going out and enjoying nature and doing all sorts of active things around the home. For some of you who are homeschooling kids at the moment, maybe you're in need of a bit of a sweet treat at the end of the day in order to help you de-stress. Or maybe if you're looking for something fun to do with your kids, cooking is actually chemistry, so you can pretend you're doing science and cooking at the same time. So what I've got is I've got some ingredients here, because I'm going to show you very quickly how you can make a delicious brownie in a mug. Okay, and for those of you from an old Baptist background, this will have something to do with Jesus, don't worry, I've not gone completely crazy. Okay, so what you are going to need, okay, in order to make a brownie in a mug is a mug. Okay, and this is a genuine Crossroads Cafe mug from EBC in the kitchen. Okay, you're going to need 3 tablespoons of sugar. Okay, it's quite a lot of sugar in this. Okay, so this is something that, you know, is a little more than an often. So 3 tablespoons of sugar. You want 3 tablespoons of self-raising flour, or substitute that for gluten-free flour if that is your jam. Okay, a pinch of salt, okay, that just helps it. You want 3 tablespoons of, no you don't, you want 1.5 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder. You want 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil or melted butter, you know, swan lard, whatever you get your hands on. And then you want 2 tablespoons of milk. Okay, so 3, 3, 3, 2, 2, and then 2 tablespoons of chocolate drops to add in. And it couldn't be easier. Essentially, all you do, okay, is you take your ingredients and you just add them to your mug. So add the dry things first. Okay, so there's the self-raising flour. We'll add the sugar in. Get that in there. Hopefully you can see that on camera. Okay, we're going to add in the cocoa powder. Okay, and if you want to recreate this video later, or if you want to have a go at this, then the recipe is obviously going to be on the website still. Okay, add in all the hard stuff basically. Now a pinch of salt. Now if you're doing this with kids, make sure they don't add more than a pinch of salt or this will not be nice. Okay, so there's a tiny bit of salt there. Okay, then what we're going to do is we're going to add in the oil. Okay, make sure all of that goes in. I'm using ramekins, so it's all stored in the jar, so you've got to make sure you get every last drop into there. Okay, and then you're going to add in your milk as well. Okay, super easy. Basically put everything in a mug and then with your trusty fork, okay, you just got to stir this into a paste, okay, and you're stirring it and stirring it. It looks a bit gross, okay, some of you are thinking that looks rancid, I wouldn't eat that, some of you are thinking that looks delicious, that looks absolutely wonderful, okay, but you stir it and stir it and stir it, okay, until all the dry is gone, okay, and you end up with a nice, gooey, thick, chocolatey, muddy paste, okay. Once you have reached that consistency, okay, and all the dry is mixed in and you've got it looking really, really nice and yummy and delicious like that. Okay, all you do, you take out the spoon or the fork, whatever you're using to stir, and you put it in a microwave for, start with 30 seconds. Okay, some microwaves are much stronger than others, so start with 30 seconds, give it a blast. And what you want is you want the cake to rise by sort of half of its height and then you know it's done. So if it isn't done after 30 seconds, give it another 15 or another 30, okay, and see how you get on. If you put it in for 5 minutes, you're going to burn it and wreck it, okay? So you do that. That goes in the microwave. Ping. And what you end up with is delicious, yummy brownie in a mug. Now, why on earth am I talking about brownies in a mug today? I'm just going to give this a little taste. Oh, that is really good. That is really, really nice. I'm going to enjoy that while Mark is preaching. That is delicious. The reason I'm talking about brownie in a mug, excuse me, is because today is a special day where we use a funny word and it's called kind of Ascension Sunday. Okay? If you're an Anglican, Ascension was on Thursday, but if you're an informal Baptist like us, we move it to the Sunday because that's when people go to church. And we remember that Jesus, who was God and came down to earth as a human, he returned back to heaven after he finished his job. Easter is kind of the climax of Jesus' work. He came, lived as a baby, grew up into a man, told people about the kingdom of God and heaven, showed people who he really was. But that isn't all he came to do. He came to die and take our place so we could be forgiven. And then when he finished his job, he went home, which is what a lot of us do, isn't it? When we finish our job, we go home. Jesus returned to the Father. Now, sometimes it can be really confusing learning about God because we talk about God the Father, and we talk about God the Son, and we talk about God the Holy Spirit, and we're not really sure which one of them is God or if one of them is more God than another. And it can be a bit confusing, particularly if you're little. Sometimes Max and Alfred will tell me that Jesus is God's son. He isn't God. And it can be really hard to understand. But the Bible tells us that Jesus, and I've got to make sure I don't get fired here, Jesus is a lot like a mug cake. Okay? Oh gosh, here we go. I can...
P45 on its way.
Yeah, please bear with me. In that, Jesus is more than one thing at the same time. Okay, like I had all of these ingredients and all of these different pots filled with things that are mixed together, Jesus, the Bible says, is completely God. Jesus has always existed in heaven. The Bible tells us that before the world was made, Jesus was, he existed, and he's part of God. He's one of the ways that God shows himself. So if I had one of these ramekins filled with what God is, Jesus is completely made of God. But the Bible tells us Jesus is also completely human. He's completely a person. And it's not like Jesus is God wearing skin, pretending to be a person. He came to earth and he looked like us, but he didn't need to eat. He didn't need to sleep. You know, Jesus was completely human. He ate, he drank, he grew. When he was a baby, he cried. His mummy and daddy had to look after him. You know, Jesus got tired. He had to sleep. Jesus got sad, he cried, he got upset, Jesus laughed, Jesus had fun, Jesus cried, Jesus was scared sometimes, Jesus was tempted to do bad things just like we are, Jesus was as human as we could be. When they hurt Jesus, he bled. When they killed his body, he died. Jesus was human. But at the same time as being a man, as being a normal person, Jesus was completely God. He told weather to behave itself, and he did. He could walk on water. He could make people better by touching them. He could bring people back to life. Jesus could do things that only God can do. And it's like Jesus was a big mixture of wonderful ingredients that made him really, really special. But the other reason I wanted to talk about a mug cake is when you microwave it, that gooey paste rises, it gets bigger, it goes up. And that's what we remember about Jesus, is he rose. He rose from the dead. When they buried him, he didn't stay dead. He rose like a mug cake. When he came back to life, he rose up to heaven again. He went back to his home. And the Bible says he actually kind of rose up before his friends and disappeared. So next time you have a delicious cake or you're baking and you make something that rises, think about Jesus. What a wonderful mixture he is, completely like us. He knows what it's like to be afraid. He knows what it's like to be sad. He knows what it's like to lose friends. He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to be happy. He knows what it's like to eat delicious food and have fun. He knows exactly what we go through. But at the same time, he's God who's in heaven now. And the Bible says we can talk to him and be his friend. So, if all you got out of that is a recipe for something delicious, that's great. If your kids are now pestering you to make a mug cake, wait until after the service, grab the ingredients and have a go. But remember, Jesus rose. He's special. And a bit like a mug cake, he's good for us. He fills us up with something good. I'm going to sing a song now, which talks a bit about Jesus coming from heaven. So Mark, if you could get the kids lyrics up. Where's that one gone? Kids song. There we go. Perfect. We're on that. Thank you, Mark. Sorry. I was telling Mark off and he hadn't done anything wrong. Oh dear. Okay. And this song talks about raising Jesus up in praise, about lifting him high, about saying, oh, God is really, really good. And the chorus says that Jesus came down from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. You can put your arms up on the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. So let's sing this song, which talks about what Jesus did, and enjoy a delicious mug cake later. I'm on holiday next week, so if you've got any complaints about my theology, send them to Mark. I won't be there. Okay, here we go. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way
From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the crook to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Mug cakes and Jesus. I'm going to hand back over now to Mark.
Okay. Oh, don't you just love it? Hey, tell you, there's nothing spared here, is there, really, when you think about it? So, bless you, Rich. Can't cook, won't cook. Next star is born, maybe. Anyway, we are in a very strange time, and you know, it's not just about us here within Swanage or Dorset or even just this country. It's right across the world. And, you know, we need to recognise that as a wider family of God's people, there's a whole load who are praying and asking God for his touch. And I caught this video, it's been produced by Tear Fund, and it's different people who are praying and lifting our world to God. And I thought it would be really nice. So let's use this as an opportunity to pray while this is going on. So let's pray.
Lord, you are our refuge and strength.
E ajuda-nos a não temer.
Ad e chicken.
De não miriraime.
Tú estás con nosotros, Señor, Todopoderoso.
You are calling us to be still.
Be still, not afraid.
Nem passividade.
That you will be exalted among the earth.
Be still.
Be creative.
A être généreux.
A ser amables.
Believe and trust.
That you are God.
Estar quietos.
Be mindful.
Hacer tu pueblo tu amado.
Lord, we bring our hopes to you.
Our families.
Our finances.
Nossa saúde.
E em nossa quietude.
Em nossos hogares, em nossos negócios, em nossos hospitais.
Tu sairia kuona unayo tenda.
We pray for wars to cease.
Oramos para que cesen las guerras, para que las armas se destruyan.
And peace declared as we face this together.
We pray for the people trapped in their homes.
With those who do them harm.
To help, to be released and restored.
We pray for communities unable to isolate.
Obligés de cohabiter, craignant d'être infectés.
Ayúdalas a estar seguras y sanas.
نصلي من أجل شفاء المرضى.
إيفايناو مكشونغروز ونوكشيماكو.
Acompaña a las personas en medio de su ansiedad y aflicción.
Help us to be still.
As you are exalted among the nations,
exalted in all the earth.
Até mesmo nesse momento.
Be with us.
Be our fortress, almighty God.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Bless you. Okay, question for you. What comes to mind when you think about something or someone being high up or elevated? I wonder. Perhaps it's this one, like standing at the top of a mountain. Perhaps it's flying in a plane. Perhaps it's being on the roof of a very high building. This is actually New York, Manhattan, looking down from the top of the Empire State Building. How about driving over a high bridge? That would be quite something. That's in the south of France. Or perhaps it's even looking down from space, from the space station at the UK. Perhaps that's high for you. Or how about this? Living on that a rock, and that's in Serbia, I gather, on the river Drina. Anyway, not to worry. But all high up or elevated, but I suppose it's all relative to where you are and what your perception is of height. In some ways, that actually connects. It's a bit tentative, I have to confess, but to where we're going to and what we're going to be thinking about today. But I've chosen as my title, really, High and Lifted Up, as a sort of a working. But it'll all come clear, I hope. Now, whether you're into heights or not, you have to admit, being high up does have its advantages, especially if you're not so high. So you see, for people like me and Rich, you see, I love this. And I was saying to Rich, I think we ought to get him one of these t-shirts. Because if you're in a crowd, you not only become a blockage, but actually you can see right over the top, no problem. And how about when you're in the supermarket? You can get right to the top shelf without having to stand or cling on anything else in order to get what you want. So it actually has its advantages, and being in that sort of position. But, you know, if we looked at this in a more broad sense, and the broader context of what we mean by higher or lifted or elevated, this is exactly what we do to other human beings in some ways. Sometimes subconsciously, but such as celebrities or sports personalities or politicians. We all look to them, and we sometimes want someone who can be in that higher place, in that position, who might be ahead of us. Someone who's actually there for us. Perhaps when things don't happen as they should, perhaps when we're struggling a little bit. But they're also there, of course, to blame. And if you think about Boris and the government, I think they're doing a brilliant job, really. Yeah, they've made mistakes, but, you know, it's hard being out there because you're being looked to constantly, and especially when you've not been where we're going. But, you know, we hope that from their position and from that place of authority, they've the power to get things changed, haven't they? That's what we're wanting. They're wanting to be able, we want them, we're looking to them to actually bring about a change in our circumstances. But, you know, the most elevated, the most powerful of person on this planet has limitations. They can't do everything. And they may get it wrong sometimes. Yet, there is one who is high and lifted up, who's ultimate in position, with all power and authority, who can be trusted, who knows exactly what we need and when we need it, and much, much more. He's the one who knows us better than we know ourselves and can definitely be trusted to be there and to help. Now, as you've already noted, and as we've already noted, what we're talking about today is Ascension. And Ascension Day, or Ascension Sunday, to get it right. And yet, although as nonconformist Baptists, we don't always acknowledge formally this whole time. But traditionally, it marks the end of 40 days after Easter Sunday, after the resurrection. And, of course, Jesus' resurrection appearances to his disciples and to others as well. But then it also calls us to look forward, to look ahead towards Pentecost, which, in fact, for us falls next Sunday. And it's the church's birthday, a significant day. And, of course, when God outpoured the Holy Spirit. But rather than look at the historical aspects of Ascension and this whole Christian festival, I'd like to consider more the significance of what happened at the Ascension of Jesus, but what it means for us today as people who live today in 2020. So let's put this in context, and we're going to have a reading from Luke wrote it. This is from Acts. This picks up on Luke's first book at the end of his gospel, and takes us into it. So let's read from chapter 1, verses 1 through to 11. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Now, in a prayer guide this week, I read this, and it said, "Through the life of Jesus, God has been present in one place for a handful of people for a short period of time. But now, through Jesus' ascension and through the subsequent sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, God became present in all places for all people for all time." I think that's a fantastic summary of what I want us to consider just for a few more minutes. So as we think about this Jesus, and that all these images about coming down or rising up or highs and lows or ascending and descending, I just want us to consider some of these things. And the first descending or coming down, of course, was when Jesus left his home from his Father in heaven and came to earth for that first time. Born as a helpless little baby to the Virgin Mary, which we, of course, celebrate and remember at, yes, Christmas. It's filled with wonder as the all-powerful Creator God restricted himself to the human form of his creation, and God became incarnate, God in human form. And even though he chose to limit himself, he was still God. And this picks up on what Rich picked up on as well. He was a perfect mix of humanity and divinity. He was the Son of Man, yet he was also the Son of God. And at that first descent to earth in bodily form, it was purposeful and it was intentional. Because even though he restricted his ministry to one place and to one relatively small group of people, he lived and displayed how humanity can live or should be living, and how they were designed to be in a relationship with the living God. But he also came to rescue, and that rescue was to lift us out of the mess which we got ourselves into by ignoring God's way and going our own and causing sin, a division between ourselves which separated us and God. And he came down to offer mankind true life and release from that futile existence of trying to get it together ourselves. And he accomplished that through an amazing plan of salvation. And without going into all of that detail, you know, Jesus himself actually spoke about these things. And one of those passages is in John chapter 6, verses 38 to 40, where he says, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day." Now, that was only possible through Jesus' willingness to do another descension. He descended into death and he died in our place. And he did that so that he would overcome the sin and the death and the hell. Because then what he did, he wanted to rise into heaven. And he was doing this because he was preparing a time for the future. And we are in this raising up sort of court. We've got an opportunity for a new life in God, in Jesus, here and now. But there's also a promise for the future. And one day we will rise with him. And I'll come back to that in a bit. But we are going to be spending eternity with God. But you know, there are some other side blessings to this whole descension onto earth in human form and dying on the cross and rising from the dead. There are some other blessings. And the first one is mentioned in that passage in Acts 1. And that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God sent his Holy Spirit on the disciples to seal that relationship which God wants for each and every one of us. So that he could empower us, he could help us and equip us and strengthen us to live for him and to serve him as best we can. And you know, the second one was that as a result of his ascension, it comes from that blessing of God where Jesus is now. He ascended from earth because he's now at the right hand of God the Father. And in Romans chapter 8, it says this: "For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honour at the right hand of God, pleading for us." So when you and I pray, and we are still in this now but not yet situation, so we're here, we're stuck, even in our current scenario, in this whole virus thing, it means that we can talk and God hears us. He's there right at God's right hand, pleading for us. But you know, it goes even beyond that, in that through the power of the Spirit, it's a releasing of all the incredible power and authority which God has gave to Jesus, he's now given to us too. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 22, there are some amazing words. And this is Paul, and he says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God, of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any rule or authority or power or leader or anything else. And not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church." I think that passage puts into this concept of descending and coming down to the rising up and keeping that tension between the two. So God understands where we are now, but actually wants us to rise up into a whole new way of being. But there's still one more very important aspect of Jesus ascending to heaven, which I need to mention briefly. And it's also there in that passage in Acts chapter 1. And it's spoken of by the two men dressed in dazzling white. Whether they were angels or not, we don't know. And that is, he talks about Jesus' return. "In like manner," they say, "as to the way he left. And when he comes back again, he comes back as in his second coming." Now, we don't know when this will happen although there are lots of signs to indicate it could be very soon. And some would even say that this whole wide world pandemic of coronavirus is a part of that. It's another pointer. But whenever it happens, we're told every eye will see him when he comes, and he will come in glory, and his return will usher in the end times for humanity and this earth in its present form. Now, the Bible says that those who put their faith in him, they will have entered into that relationship, will rise up with him at that point and meet Jesus in the air, just like he was in the air at his ascension, and then will be with him for eternity in heaven. But those who have not believed will be left behind. That's a sad situation. So if you're not yet in that relationship with Jesus, then I would suggest you seriously consider it, because we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. And not only that, but you will, and you can be, currently missing out on this new life which God has planned for us. So let me encourage you that if you're not in that place and you're not in that relationship, I would encourage you to engage with God. And if you're already a believer and you've let things lapse, then perhaps a recommitment to him would be good. So there's some questions to ask. And those questions are, have you met with this risen Jesus? This ascended Jesus, the one now who's at the right hand of the Father. By the Holy Spirit, we can now have that personal relationship with him. So are you his? Do you really want to know him? Are you ready even for his second coming? And have you that a deep assurance that you will be with him and you will rise with him on that last day? So there's lots of questions there. It might be that you say, hey, I need to contact somebody. Well, you can see my email address there. I'd like to be able to talk with you. I'd like to be able to liaise with you. If you're on that journey and you don't know how to get to be with this Jesus. But what I would like us to do, I'd like to lead us in a prayer of commitment. And whether we've been a Christian for many years or whether we've not, and this is perhaps the first time you pray this, I'd like us to pray this and to repeat these phrases so that we can actually meet with God ourselves. So I'm going to lead you in a little prayer, and let's just echo these words in our own hearts. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I have done wrong in my life. Let's mention a few of those things in our minds, raise them in our thoughts, or actually verbalize them if that's what you want. And let's ask for his forgiveness for those things. Lord God, please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me, that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and you give to me the gift of your Holy Spirit, the gift of life. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life now by your Holy Spirit and live in me and with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, if you are wanting to know more, please do get in touch. But as we start to draw our service to a close, we're going to sing one final song. But I hope that we're going to lift Jesus high again. It's a form of sort of recognition and lifting him as we worship. So let's worship God now.
Good, thank you. We're going to finish our service by singing What a Beautiful Name, and we're talking about the name of Jesus.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is.
What a beautiful name it is.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of
everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. I hope you found it of value. I hope you found it stimulating. At the very least, you can now make a very instant brownie in a mug. I mean, come on. Not everyone can do a Facebook live service and go away with that skill. thanks for being with us. If you do want to follow through on anything which you've heard, you've seen, then do contact us. And you can always play the video back if you want to catch those details of email addresses. But we're going to close our service, as we've done in recent weeks, with a video from a family. And this is a very special family because you've seen the dad already. But two enthusiastic Doherty boys and their mom are going to lead us in the words of the grace. God bless. Thanks for being with us.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
and the love of God
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all forevermore.
Amen. Amen.